This is Mae Brussel, and this is side two of broadcast number 735. The importance of the linkage of Fritz Kramer, a fellow I've talked about for the past three, going on 4 years now, is very, very important, because taking the role of John Paul Getty and John Paul Getty Jr., and they're working with Otto von Bolschwing and Elmer Bobst and the Henry Cabot Lodge family, the Cabots, and the political context in which our country was literally overthrown, and then linking to Frank Turple. And what I'm building up to is the relationship of Frank Turple training Ajah for the process of shooting the Pope, working with him and discussing that, and the relationship of Reverend Moon with Licio Gelli of the P2 of the Masonic Lodge, of the planned resurgence of Nazism in Europe and putting in fascist dictatorships, and Reverend Moon's proximity with Licio Gelli when he fled Italy, and also with Klaus Barbie and the dictators in South America. And now the linkage, which has been going on for a long time, but Jack Anderson just brought out again, of the World Anti-Communist League taking over Central America, the web of the Nazis putting in these military coups, has been a continuous relationship of various people at certain times and places that has not been broken since Hitler came to power in 1933. Now, to conclude the Jack Anderson article, he says the beneficiaries of Taiwan's instruction have repaid their teachers by maintaining diplomatic relations with Taipei long after most countries have dropped the nationalists in favor of Peking. Causa International, which is, again, the organization that is in London, the International Security Council, this is Causa International, generously financed by Moon's Unification Church, employs similar techniques, inviting Latin American military men and women and influential civilians on all-expense trips abroad for seminars on common problems. And when they're abroad, as I say, then they can work with the other group under the name of the International Security Council. They talk about common problems. Causa's influence is especially pervasive in Uruguay and Honduras. As a matter of fact, I just counted out an article this last week. Is Honduras going to be another Taiwan, turning it into a Taiwan? And also the fact that Uruguay is having demonstrations of Nazis and swastikas and the resurgence of Nazism in Uruguay. Jack Anderson said, deeply involved in Latin America is the far-flung World Anti-Communist League, originally set up by the South Koreans and Taiwanese government in the late 1960s. In the summer of 1984, Anderson met a military instructor sent by the Japanese chapter of the League to train Mosquito Indians fighting the Sandinista regime in Nicaragua. The League was already the key vehicle for aid to Nicaragua Contras, and behind the scenes was the encouragement of Ronald Reagan and various administration officials. Contra leaders have acknowledged that Taiwan supplies them with the military hardware. The World Anti-Communist League's current president is Major General John Singlaub, whose ties with the Taiwanese and South Korean government go back many years. He was an operative in the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS, as was Otto von Bolschwing while he was in the Waffen-SS, and he was then in China, where he served as a liaison to Chiang Kai-shek. In the late 70s, Singlaub commanded American troops in South Korea. He was forced to resign by President Jimmy Carter, but he uses his money from the Contras, from Taiwan, and from Reverend Moon's Causa to have seminars in South Korea, international seminars. The influence of the World Anti-Communist League in El Salvador is illustrated by the fact that its literature is in the waiting rooms of the Supreme Court justices and in the offices of the President José Napoleón Duarte's advisors. So that Reverend Moon and Chiang Kai-shek's son and the Taiwan government have kept this activity going from Asia to London to the highest offices of the Star Wars, the Strategic Defense Initiative, involving Fritz Kramer and Daniel Graham. And, of course, Henry Kissinger's past role with the Nazis has been documented, and allegedly Klaus Barbie's trial can't start until the election in France is over, and there are so many right-wing people that he is linked to that they may be defeated in the election if it came out. So the network, going back to World War II, is still very much alive, and they are feeding each other through various front organizations called COASA or the International Security Council and surfacing in various forms. There's a small newspaper called the Latin American Press that is sent to me regularly by one of the listeners. And in there, there's a story, December 1985, about Reverend Moon. After the U.S. jailed term, Moon picks Uruguay as his investment haven. Now, this is very important because it leads to the next part of the program and probably into next week on what is going on with the trial of Aja, the finalizing of that trial, the implications of that trial, the people involved, such as Henry Kissinger, who's the protege of Kramer, and Moon's closeness to Licio Gelli and the P2, the whole counterintelligence group of disinformation, including Arnaud de Borchgrave, Reverend Moon's editor for the newspaper in Washington, and Robert Moss, and the various characters that tried to pull off the biggest lie of the trial of the century that's falling flat on its face, but is linked to these various characters and shows the strength of these people trying to pass off major stories or lies that would provoke us to the brink of World War III. Now, this story out of Latin America says in Buenos Aires, comes from Argentina. It cites, Uruguay is fast becoming the preferred haven of Reverend Moon. The anti-communist unification church is guided, of course, we know by him. The Moonies have invested $60 million in the South American Switzerland in the last 4 years. Major acquisitions are a publishing paper, an influential newspaper, a five-star hotel, a bank, luxurious apartment complexes, pieces of real estate in Montevideo neighborhoods. After the South Korean leader's imprisonment for tax evasion in the United States, the church moved its operation centers to Latin America. The military government welcomed the Moonies to Uruguay in 1980. Now, 1980 was the time when Ronald Reagan was to be elected president, when it was 1 year before Licio Gelli was to flee to Argentina and Uruguay. He was centered down in Uruguay and putting a lot of money there with the military. The fiercely anti-communist generals were impressed by the anti-communist doctrine of Reverend Moon. Like their counterparts in Brazil, that has had a change of governments, Chile, which hasn't had, Argentina, which has had, the generals at the time in 1980 were under pressure from Jimmy Carter's campaign to curb human rights violations, but these dictatorships paid no attention. Moon's right-hand man, Colonel Bohai Park, praised the patriotic mission of the government in Uruguay. That was, and they also have had a different election, although the so-called democracy enjoys Reverend Moon being there, and they cooperated in their fight against international Marxism. Strident anti-communism marks every aspect of the Moon's theory and practice. The group uses an estimated $1 billion in assets to further its doctrine. It invests in underdeveloped countries that have been snubbed by international investors. The Moons were attracted to Uruguay by liberal laws where they could set up financial operations with minimal government inspection because the country is predominantly Catholic. The Moonies presented them not as a church, but as CAUSA, C-A-U-S-A, and again, that's part of the organization that set up the International Security Council. They actually have about 40 different names, which I have in the other room. Colonel Park attempted to establish a beachhead in Argentina under the dictator presidency of General Jorge George Videla, J-O-R-G-E, the J is silent, Jorge Videla. And the Moonies had little success in Paraguay. They wanted to get a foothold there, but General Stroessner is too strong. I guess he didn't want two people the same ilk there, so they didn't encourage him to stay in Paraguay. So the Moonies went into Bolivia under the patronage of Interior Minister General Luis Arce Gomez, and that's the fellow I mentioned last week with his relationship with Bohai Park and their work with the cocaine kings, cocaine traffic, and also the dictators in South America. This article says the Mooney acquisitions are spectacular in Uruguay. In October 82, a $72 million check was deposited in one bank, and Uruguay's third largest bank has been named Moon's official representative in Uruguay. The check came from Moon's own Bank of Hong Kong. He has the Banco de Credito here, and he has his own banking system, and he purchased $3 million another bank, the Banco de Credito shares, and is buying up banks in Uruguay and having a very strong influence in the newspapers, hotels, entertainment industry, I guess the resort hotels where you can have gambling and all the things that go with drug traffic, all the luxuries of the people that travel through. Now, the story says that Moon had a loan that Wells Fargo Bank canceled, a $15 million credit, and the Hanover Trust another $12 million credit. So he desperately needed to buy a bank, which he did. So now in Montevideo, he has his own bank. And then the article concludes, no outsider has been able to discover how the Moonies acquired such large amounts of capital. Many suspected it came from the sale of arms and military equipment. The Argentine army uses uniforms and parachutes made in Korea. The Uruguayan army forces have purchased their cannons, machine guns from Moon supplied. He has the armament factory in South Korea, and he can supply them with their machinery for weapons. So what looks like a religion is a taking over various countries with a tremendous amount of money and influence, working with the drug traffickers, with the dictatorships, anything but a religious organization. It's a front, right out and up front, linked to our CIA, linked to Taiwan, to the people that were kicked out of China because of their drugs, because of their monopoly of capital, of flight capital, oppression of the people, left a terrible record there. And now Robert Moon has conferences. He had a science conference in Dallas recently and a newspaper conference. Many of you might have seen it on television where he took the media people to Korea for 1 or 2 weeks to visit there, all expenses paid, and now has the International Security Council telling the president about holding on to the Star Wars defense, don't give it up, and look at these countries of oppression, never citing the areas where they have dictatorships, such as Taiwan. The International Security Council lists in their full-page ad, as I say, Afghanistan, Angola, Cambodia, Ethiopia, Nicaragua. There isn't any word about Chile or South Korea or Taiwan or Haiti or Pakistan, where the military dictators are. Now, going from the next step of Reverend Moon and Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger, the protege of Fritz Kramer, who is the international bigwig, the traveling State Department, I want to go to the trial that is just winding down in Italy, the trial of the century that has to do with Aja, and how this thing is going completely, the wind is out of the operations. There's no headlines, not very many in the United States, but an account of the way the trial is winding down. For 1 year after the Pope was shot, Aja said he acted alone, but immediately Alexander Haig and the State Department were pushing the story of terrorism, international terrorism, as was Claire Sterling. And if you remember, NBC had a full one-hour program, it seemed like 10 hours, titled The Man Who Shot the Pope, A Study in Terrorism, put together by Marvin Kalb. And Marvin Kalb is a protege. He and Bernard Kalb worked close with Henry Kissinger under the tutelage always of Fritz Kramer. And Kramer has been identified. Now he's surfaced. If not before, he was just a military retired. Now he's surfaced as part of CAUSA and the Moon operation. And Reverend Moon is so close to Licio Gelli and the Italian scandals that surfaced at the time of the Pope shooting that it makes the Marvin Kalb program on NBC even more interesting, as I say, now that Kramer has surfaced in this light. But the first story was that Aja worked alone. Then he was carefully coached by people from the Italian intelligence, from American intelligence, from the mafia, and came up with an entirely different story. While he was saying, and there was enough reason to create this stupid trial, and he was saying the Bulgarians were part of it, and the Turkish leftist group were part of the plan to shoot the Pope and promote him to do this job. And if they did it, then the Russians know, because they know everything that's going on. Well, that whole thing has completely fallen apart. And the U.S. teams that have been exposed through the 9 months of trial include Francesco Pazienza of Italian intelligence, and also who works with the CIA, Alexander Haig, a Knight of Malta, close to the Vatican, and also who thought he would take over just 2 months earlier when Ronald Reagan was shot, and Reagan, I presume, was not supposed to live, and Haig would be the vicar. Another person whose name appears in these articles and exposés, and we'll do more, is that Michael Ledeen, who's persona non grata in Italy. They don't want him over there. And his wife, Barbara Ledeen, isn't written up very much, but she works for the Defense Department. And another part of the cast of characters involved is Paul Hensey of the CIA, who worked in Turkey and was part of our Defense Department's aggravated assault against Turkey for the purpose of military dictatorship. Frank Turple of the CIA, who worked and trained Ajad, Claire Sterling, the middle woman, the propagandist between Turkey and the Central Intelligence Agency, the military dictatorship, and the CIA. And these are the characters that have surfaced just in the 9 months and are also related to Robert Keith Gray, that office in Washington, the public relations office. And Gray worked under Henry Kissinger with Task Force 157. I'll go into a few of the articles the past 2 weeks and then mention some references that I had on the air in 1981 to show my analysis of what happened when the Pope was shot, and then some sections of a whole article, like it's almost book length, from Covert Action on the shooting of the Pope that came out in the spring of 1985. The New Times is a magazine from the Soviet Union. In November this year, they had a story, The Antonov Case, The Capitalist System of Justice and Human Rights. And it brings out the fact that Italy ratified in the United Nations the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights in 1976 to guarantee rights regarding court procedures. And this article tells how Mr. Sergei Antonov has been locked up for 3 years and how Italy has entirely based this case on the press, on Ajan, who's a Turkey terrorist of the far right, that the mass media has entirely ignored the intent of this UN resolution, this covenant, that all of them signed, and that they tried to make the Bulgarians guilty by mass indoctrination in the media of saying it over and over again of the links of Ajan to the leftists or the Bulgarians, because he stayed in Bulgaria, Sofia, Bulgaria, a short while, and used a passport with a different name. They tried to say, therefore, the Bulgarians knew who he was, and therefore the Russians knew, and it had their approval. And none of this is holding up. And this article from the Soviet Union talked about the mistreatment of Antonov in perverting this entire case. The New York Times, November the 6th, has a story on Omer Mersin, M-E-R-S-A-N, a Turkish businessman from West Germany who saw Ajan and paid Ajan some money on behalf of a gentleman from Turkey, an arms dealer who was part of the Turkish underworld, but he never met Ajan before. He didn't know why the money was paid to him, and he had no role in this murky plot. The Washington Post, December 21st, had a story, Bulgarian Colonel in Ajan Case, and it tells how a fellow from Bulgaria, the court went to Bulgaria, and Lieutenant Colonel Vasily said that all of this is hogwash, that he never met Ajan, that he doesn't know what he's talking about, and the court couldn't figure out how Ajan got the details of these people, the Bulgarians, because when they took the judges and the world press was there, filled with press, it turns out this fellow never met him in his life, and Ajan knew the movements of these people and their characteristics and their telephone numbers. And obviously, the Italian intelligence and the American CIA through Pazienza and these people were feeding him enough information that a trial was started, and finally they did go to Turkey, and there was nothing that they could find out, any links or evidence. There isn't a shred of evidence to link the Eastern Europeans except the fact that he stayed in a hotel run by a Japanese concern in Sofia, Bulgaria, for a very short time, and they even questioned whether, in fact, he had been there, because the registry didn't have the passport alias that Ajay used. It wasn't at the hotel. Now, the New York Times, December 22nd, has a story. Testimony in Pope case ends in Sofia. The two judges and the six jurors will hand down a verdict. And now, as of last week, they say the testimony is likely to buttress the prosecution's contention that the Bulgarians paid at least $1.2 million to make the story of the Soviet Union responsible for the assassination attempt on the Pope. And they said the defendants will all be acquitted, for they can either say they're guilty or they're not guilty or they're acquitted for lack of evidence. And remember the famous Warren Commission memos of the staff that I got from the National Archives, where they said, we can't say that Jack Ruby wasn't part of a conspiracy because we haven't even looked into that, but we'll say we have found no evidence that he has because we haven't found any, we haven't looked. So the Warren report said there was no evidence that Jack Ruby was part of any larger conspiracy. And the purpose of doing that, they said in the New York Times, was it leaves room for doubt about the innocence of the accused. And I said when the trial began and Ajay said he was Jesus Christ, that they knew they didn't have the evidence when the trial began 9 months ago. So by Ajay saying, I'm Jesus Christ, it makes everything else look stupid, and all the lies can't just be lies because you could say, well, the guy's mentally sick. And they realized they made a mistake with the trial, but they had to go through the monkey trial. And so they'll leave you questioning whether or not these men really were guilty. But as far as they went, they found no evidence. Now, this trial wasn't against the right wing. It wasn't against the Gray Wolves and the Nazis. It wasn't against the drug dealers, the gun smugglers. It was against the Bulgarians and three Turks. So four Bulgarians and three Turks. So if they can't find them guilty, that doesn't mean someone else wasn't behind the plot. It just means that they haven't prosecuted and probably never will and won't go any further. But the more they looked, according to the New York Times, and the more they questioned, what emerged was the Turkish right-wing circles that supported Ajay. And that involves, again, Robert Gray, the public relations man who represents Turkey, and Paul Henze of the CIA, because Gray worked with Wilson and Turple, and Turple claims that he trained Ajay, and Gray worked with Henry Kissinger, and Kissinger was named by Ajay as being part of the coaxing to change the story. So that Kissinger and Turple are linked to Task Force 157 and also George Bush when he was director of the CIA. The New York Times said the court learned from the testimony of a racketeer and a former Italian intelligence official that Ajay was coached to implicate the Bulgarians. The racketeer, of course, was Mr. Pandico, I mentioned him before, and the intelligence official was Mr. Pazienza. And it says Pazienza said this week, and this is important, that he possessed documents and evidence that he has now put into a safe bank account where he will keep it, that's in a Swiss bank. And the New York Times questioned whether he's going to blackmail American or Italian officials because he doesn't want to be extradited back to Italy. And Pazienza was indicted last year for trying to subvert Italy's intelligence service. And now this past week, he's been charged with the further role in the 1980 bombing, the Bologna bombing, outside of Milan, the train station, where 80 to 85 people were killed. The figure varies depending what book you read. But the Bologna bombing links directly to Klaus Barbie, who's part of that. Not Klaus Barbie, I'm pardon me, Licio Gelli, who's been indicted, and Stefano Della Calle, and a group of other terrorists. And, of course, they make a full circle back their relationship to Klaus Barbie and Bohai Park and Reverend Moon. And here's Fritz Kramer, Kissinger's protege, Kissinger's boss, not his protege, linked to Moon in the full cycle of these people with Nazis and terrorism surfaces very loud and clearly in 1985. The Washington Post has an article, Italian Court Ends Probe of Papal Plot. They said the court was unable to shake blanket denials that these people had that they never dealt with Ajay. When they went to Turkey to interview them, they couldn't shake the, they were firm that they didn't know Ajay. And through this entire investigation for 9 months, they couldn't find any trace of money that allegedly was paid to Ajay, this over $1 million. And the conspiracy theory appeared to be gathering momentum, the Washington Post said, when Giovanni Pandico described the meeting with Ajah and the meeting with the former deputy head of the Italian Secret Service, General Pietro Musumeci. The originally called the trial of the century, this is in the Washington Post, it will end without a Bulgarian connection or the communist propagandists who accuse CIA of masterminding the plot. It's not going to be either one. The Russians say that the CIA planned it, and the Italian government was saying the Bulgarian connection there, it's not going to prove either one. The reason it's not going to prove either one is they're not going into it. And quite a few articles in the Washington Times about the end of the trial and how it's almost over. Now, interestingly enough, the Washington Post had a story just recently about Caspar Weinberger and Ronald Reagan preparing for a war, but we need a revolution. And this goes into and leads into the real motive and the creation of this whole story to whip people up that the Russians and the Bulgarians wanted to shoot the Pope, again, the Antichrist trying to kill the religious leader, and shooting at him to instigate this, whip up this hysteria, which was very needed at that particular time because of things that our government was planning in stretching our boundaries from America over to Europe and to the Middle East and getting ready and closer for the war that we have been building ourselves up for. The story in the Washington Post, Sunday, December 15th, has a full-page article, just equivalent full-page, to prepare for war, we need a revolution. And this article says, we're not very good at peace time preparing for war, and for 40 years we've tried to turn ourselves into a warrior nation. We spent $300 billion a year for weapons, but what we really need is something to get us into the war that people aren't ready yet to go in. And they describe a little firefighting in Grenada, a dogfight in Libya. But in order to get a real war going, we have to have some national outrage. And this article goes on how we've spent so many dollars for weapons and that we spend $50 million for a single fighter plane. The flying time for a B-1 bomber is $12,000. For 1 hour for the bombers, $12,000 is just a little bit. The Defense Department has 54,000 people shopping and spending $28 million an hour we're spending for weapons. And the article implies that we can't keep doing this unless we have somebody to go for. And the whole point about the motive, one of the motives for getting the Polish Pope is to whip these people into a lather and encourage them to get ready for a war against Russia. And if the Pope were to be killed, the Polish Pope, it would certainly arouse all of Eastern Europe. Now, strangely enough, there was an article about the Armageddon and Ronald Reagan simultaneously with all this in the past week or so, describing, it's from another small newsletter that a listener sent me. She sent me one that I cited earlier in the evening. This is from the Coalition for a New Foreign and Military Policy. And it's about Ronald Reagan's religion as a cause of World War III. And in one section of this article, it declares, it says that a former California state senator wrote about a conversation with Reagan in 71, talking about nuclear Armageddon, and that he thought the armies of the ungodly nations would rise against the communists and that Libya would be among them. The significance of that is that Libya is now communist, and that's a sign that the Armageddon isn't far off. Now, all these recent provocations that you see are leading to Libya, and what happened was as the Polish Pope script failed and fell flat on its bottom, the Defense Department can come up with another provocateur type of action, which is really on the brink of World War III. And the Coalition Close-Up, the fall 1985, describes Reagan's philosophy going back in 1971 about Libya and the Armageddon. And if we didn't get the Polish Pope and pull that one and antagonize the East, we could get our foot in the Mediterranean by going after Mr. Gaddafi in Libya. And this is part of the Armageddon prophecy of Ronald Reagan. And next week, I want to just update some current news, and I also want to continue with that trial in Rome that is winding down because of the significance of the people that link through this whole saga to Washington, D.C., and to Mr. Fritz Kramer and Reverend Moon and Lizzie O'Jelly, and the time period, take you back to that time period and where we are now in relationship to the scary script that they keep pushing. If they can't get away with one, they try the other and keep whipping up this frenzy and publish large articles, and television is a good propaganda tool to prepare us for this war in the Mediterranean. The time is up now, so I'll come back to it next week, and the interconnection of these various people going back from World War II to where they are influencing us today. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. You take care, and I'm using your articles. Thanks for sending them. I get many. I don't have time to use at the current hour, but we'll use eventually. Thanks again for all of that, and I'll be back with you to share some more news. It goes fast enough. It'll be 1 week.